One commissioner en route, so we're going to go ahead and get started. I'd like to call the order, call to order the regular meeting of the Emergency Medical Care Committee for Friday, July 29th. And my name is Wolfgang Kanabe. I'm the chair and California Fire Chief's representative. So I'd like to start with introductions to my left.
Trees Gutierrez, Emergency Department Manager, Chalk Children's, representing Orange Coast Emergency Nurses Association.
Good morning. I'm Jim Karras, Vice President, Chief Operating Officer of AmeriCare Ambulance Service, representing the Ambulance Association of Orange County.
Virgin Arbutus, CEO, La Palma Intercommunity Hospital and West Anaheim Medical Center, representing Hospital Association of Southern California.
Mike Ritter, I'm the Medical Director of the Emergency Department at Mission Hospital in Mission Viejo and representing the 5th District.
Sam Stratton, the Orange County EMS Medical Director.
Tammy McConnell, Orange County EMS Administrator.
Tim Greco, I'm the Medical Director at St. Jude Hospital, representing 4th District.
Jen Ha Park, President of the California Radiological Society, representing the 2nd District.
Hi, I'm Ron Blau, and I represent the 1st District.
Good morning, Dean Gross. I'm a council member, City of Los Alamitos. I represent the League of California Cities.
Great. And again, welcome everyone. At this point, the first order of business is the approval of the minutes from April 29th. Any additions or changes? If not, motion?
Just note my abstention. I was not in attendance.
Move approval.
Second. Okay. All in favor? Okay. Next, we're going to go to our reports and correspondence. And we're going to start with Dr. Stratton, Medical Director report.
Thank you. A couple of things. One, on the Orange County EMS website, if you haven't looked at it already, there are a number of things that we keep on that website, including a diversion report that's current, as well as licensing and ambulance provider and permitted vehicle reports, our contract reports, and also on the website are all of the policies and procedures for Orange County EMS. And the website also has posted on it the EMS plan, which is approved by the state, as well as a number of white papers that have been done recently regarding the EMS system. So if you haven't seen the website or looked at the website, please look at it. Also, if you go on the website, you can sign up for announcements that come out regularly from the EMS office. We've received a number of questions about the pediatric readiness survey of local hospitals, and we are getting that ready to put out as a electronic survey in August. So for the hospital sector, that will be going out. Finally, with regard to my report, last EMCC meeting, there was a large contingent and a discussion on the closure of San Clemente Hospital in San Clemente. The hospital did undergo closure as had been planned, and thus far we haven't noted major problems, but I was going to ask Dr. Ritter to go over what the experience has been at the two Mission hospitals, which are the closest hospitals to, or would have been, well, basically they're the closest hospitals to that area that San Clemente Hospital serves. So, Mike, if you don't mind just giving us a little bit of a summary.
Sure, thank you. So San Clemente was seeing approximately 15,000 patients a year in the emergency department. For our experience in the month of June, if you remember, they closed on May 31st. So the month of June, the Mission Viejo campus saw about 650 more patients than a year ago, and the Laguna Beach campus saw about 350 more, so about 1,000 additional patients, which is a little less than their total volume. And July is very similar as well, maybe a touch higher. We've increased our staffing with physicians and nurses, and so we're able to absorb that.
Continuing with the EMS office report or agency report, I'm going to ask Mike DeLobby to give you a summary on the diversion report, which is the second bullet under the EMS reports.
Good morning. In attachment 2 in your agenda packet, you'll see the diversion report. So this is the diversion report for several categories of diversion from January through June of this year. We'll start with pages 2 through 4. This is emergency department diversion for facilities. It's broken down by area, and it demonstrates diversion by percent of time for each month that a facility is on diversion. So we knew from previous reports and previous meetings, diversion was pretty high through January, February, and it's kind of leveled out as we've moved through April, May, and June for all facilities. So that's the emergency receiving center diversion percent of time broken down by area. When you move to page 5, it's emergency receiving center diversion reported in hours. So it's the same diversion report, only reported in hours instead of percent of time. And again, we see a significant reduction in diversion hours as we move April, May, and June compared to the first quarter of the year. Page 6 is a emergency receiving center diversion year over year, month over month from 2012 to 2016. So that you can see historically what our diversions looked like for the same period of each month for each year. And again, lower diversion rates for May and June, especially when compared to previous years. Page 7 is the trauma receiving center diversion, percent of time trauma centers are on diversion. Did have a little bit of a rise in diversion for trauma diversion in June, but still well below the expected amount or expected threshold that's established by the ACS, American College of Surgeons for Trauma. Page 8 is cardiovascular receiving center diversion. Our percentage is pretty low here in diversion. There's only a few centers that have diversion, and usually these are one-room cardiovascular labs that sometimes have equipment issues or such. And then page 9 is internal disruption diversion reported as percent of time, and page 10 is CT diversion report as percent of time, and those are also in acceptable ranges. And that's it for the diversion report.
Question? On page 3, the diversions that drop significantly, is there any rationale why such a significant drop in the last 2 months?
I think historically, from what we looked at for the first part of the year, we had talked at a previous meeting that it was partially due to changes in healthcare insurance, and the other part of it due to influenza impacts. And as we've moved into the later second quarter, we've seen less of an impact from those types of.
Thank you.
If there are no other questions for the EMS report, if I could have Ray Montoya give the the contract performance report. Thank you.
Well, good morning. My name is Ray Montoya. I'm the performance chief for Emergency Medical Services. And I'm going to give a report here on contractual response time compliance with the ambulance companies of emergency and care over quarter three, which is January, February, and March. The most common response time is our code 2 response time for our ambulance companies, and they need to reach that code 2 response time within 15 minutes. So as you see in the handouts here, that for region A through E, generally our response times are very high, anywhere from 99% to 98.6% over the course of the quarter. So this has been consistent over the quarters 1, 2, and 3, and we're very pleased with that response time. The report also includes the number of dispatches by region and city, and also the number of transports by region and city. Our quarter four will be ready probably mid to late August, and it'll be in the form of an annual report that's going to take it's going to look more or less like our mid-year report that came out. So that's about it for this activity report. We're very pleased with the response times. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. The final bullet under the EMS report is correspondence, which is in your packet following the performance report. It's a letter that went out to the system regarding pre-hospital EMS air rescue, describing the system and a new provider, the sheriff's department, that's performing air rescue in Orange County. For the record, we have three forms of, if you will, air EMS in the county right now. We have our primary helicopter service, which is an air ambulance service, and that's provided by Mercy Air. We have air rescue, which does hoist or will hover and lift someone from a remote area, and that's provided primarily by the Orange County Fire Authority and the Orange County Sheriff's Department. Also, LA County Fire will provide mutual aid into the north end of the county, and we use the Coast Guard along the coastal areas of the county. And then this week I've been in discussions, or at least received communications electronically with back and forth with Mercy Air, who is providing now a advanced fixed wing service out of John Wayne Airport in Fullerton Airport. So we have fixed wing, which is mainly for interfacility transports, air rescue for the occasional remote area rescue where someone needs EMS services, also broken leg or something like that. And then our primary service, which is an air ambulance service provided throughout the county by Mercy Air. So the letter's in the packet, and I can answer any questions that anyone might have regarding that. Great, thank you.
Great, thank you, Dr. Stratton. Our next business item will be the EMCC Advisory Subcommittee and Advisory Group Reports, with facilities being first. Dr. Stratton, I think you're taking that one.
Yeah, Dr. Anderson's the chair of that committee, and we had the committee earlier this month, the committee meeting, and it was a short meeting, about 35 minutes, but we discussed during the meeting current state focus, if you will, on what's called wall time. That's the amount of time it takes to offload a patient who has arrived in an emergency room by ambulance onto an emergency room gurney. It's a major problem throughout most of the state, and there are now initiatives, in fact legislation, to define what precisely the time frame is and to begin to track data on wall time. So we had that discussion. Also discussed was the posting of electronic medical records from the field to the receiving hospital. And in fact, there has been a few glitches and things like that, and the base coordinators who were attending the meeting discussed that and presented some solutions that we'll be continuing to follow. And that was pretty much it for facilities. And I'll, in the interest of time, take the next committee, which is CPAC. Dr. Kozak had a family meeting and was unable to attend, so I filled in and chaired that meeting. And in that meeting, most of the discussion centered around the air rescue and air EMS systems that we have in Orange County, which I just discussed. And we also, in that meeting, discussed optional scope items that are paramedic items. Currently, the state has asked us to remove a couple of items that are rarely used, in fact, not used at all in the county. So those are, we're adjusting our scope of practice at this time based on the state's request that we do that. Sodium thiosulfate is the primary drug or medication that's being removed from the scope. And that handled CPAC, and I think Mr. Karras can, if if the chair doesn't mind, can do the Transportation Advisory Committee, which was equally as brief.
Yes, we the committee met on Wednesday, July 27th. We discussed a couple of items. We received reports from the EMS agency on the EOA performance, as was just presented here, also on the progress on data implementation for the new Nemesis 3 EMS data project that's occurring. And there was some good news in that at least each of the providers have a plan to meet the state deadline. And so that report, I believe, is also available on the website if there's information on that. And then primarily we spoke about the idea of creating a model ambulance cleaning and equipment checklist. And so what I think is going to happen is that was going to be rescheduled for our next meeting. And in the interim, the Ambulance Association, a couple of members of a working group have been working on this this checklist. I think the association will formally, and there's going to be a request for the association to formally adopt it or sanction it, and then it'll come back to the committee for the committee's review, at least to offer support in the idea of a model checklist. I think what the idea is this is a way for the association and industry to work collaboratively to comply with the new standards that this committee supported and move forward in a positive manner to make sure that we maintain those standards. So that was what the committee is focused on. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Our next item, we do not have any unfinished business, so we'll go on to new business, and that includes the data systems compliance, which is, I believe, attachment 5. And Dr. Stratton.
Yeah, Laurent Repass is going to present that.
Good morning, members of the committee. I'm Laurent Repass, Information Systems Chief for Orange County EMS. As I reported at the last meeting, recent California legislation has created a new statewide mandate that all EMS providers must utilize an electronic patient care reporting system, and that system must be certified compliant with the current version of the National EMS Information System, or NEMSIS, version 3.4. I also reported it is now required that all EMS providers ensure that their systems meet these new state and federal mandates no later than January 1st of 2017. While our systems are currently compliant with these new mandates, OCMS has been actively working with all EMS providers to ensure they become compliant by the deadline. Since we last reported to this group, there has been significant progress, and I'd like to share that with you by directing your attention to the two reports in Attachment 5 of your agenda packet. The first report, titled NEMSIS 3 Implementation 911 Providers. The graph represents the average monthly 911 incident volume, which is currently 16,000, and compares incidents that have been documented using the older NEMSIS 2 data standard as represented by the red line versus incidents that have been documented using the new NEMSIS 3 data standard as represented by the blue line. Based on this report, as of June 2016, 29% of all 911 incidents are documented using the new standard currently. Also, 62% of all 911 public EMS providers have made the transition. I expect this number to increase significantly over the next couple of months as more EMS providers make the transition. For example, the city of Anaheim went live this morning about 30 minutes ago. So if you see me on my iPad, I'm monitoring that as we go. And the city of Huntington Beach is scheduled to go live on August 22nd. Others are planning their go-lives here soon, but I don't have definitive dates on those yet. In the second report, titled NEMSIS 3.4.0 Compliance by Agency, you can see that we now have 9 EMS providers, public or private, that have successfully made the transition as referenced by those agencies that are marked in green. 12 agencies are actively testing data submission and or training staff as referenced by those agencies marked in yellow. And 22 agencies have taken active steps towards compliance but are not yet submitting any data as referenced by those agencies marked in orange. I'll continue to provide any updates as they become available, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Laurent, I have a question. Is it progressing the way you've expected or were expecting it to progress?
It is. It is. I think this is a massive undertaking, whereas when we originally launched our system a couple of years ago or 3 years ago now, we were primarily interested in the 911 system. This new implementation takes into account all EMS providers, which includes non-emergency ambulance and all non-emergency ambulance transports. So our average annual call volume for our 911 system is about 107,000 to 180,000 calls per year. But when you add all of the non-emergency transports, that exceeds 500,000. And so we'll be almost three times more than what we were before as far as call volume goes. And so this is a much more complex and intricate implementation than it was originally. Given all those circumstances, I think we are progressing nicely. But I do anticipate some challenges as we go forward, being that the size and scope of this project.
Great. Thank you. Any questions on the data compliance? All right. Our next item then will be member comments. We have any member comments at all? I have one comment. I was fortunate enough at two of my council meetings in the two cities, we acknowledge successful EMS calls, and we had it just shows how well our EMS system works. We had a young gentleman in his 20s and that went into full arrest, and but just due to the CPR, the AED, the paramedics, the transportation, and then the ER, bringing this young man back to life, and a 22-year-old, and he came to council with his family. And then also we had a gentleman go into full arrest in one of our runs, our charity runs, and luckily everybody was there. Same thing happened. We presented something to him and his family. So as much as we always have room for improvement, but I'll tell you, EMS system here, Dr. Stratton, I feel, and I've been involved in a lot of them, are pretty good thanks to all the wonderful people that work in our system. So just from my point of view. Any other comments? Our next one will be a public forum. Do we have anybody speaking?
I didn't receive any speaker cards, no.
Okay. So there are no public comments, and we will then... Oh, look at that. We're at the end already, huh? That's going to be a record, Dr. Stratton. No controversial items. Huh? Okay. Are there any comments? Just one roundtable before we get to our next meeting? No? Perfect. Well, then what I'd like to do is adjourn this meeting, and our next meeting will be Friday, October 7th. And if there is nothing further, we're going to go ahead and adjourn. Thank you.